Well, good morning, everyone. It feels so much this morning like the parents are away and the kids are home alone for the weekend. As Greg said, Jeff and Patty and a bunch of our elder board are on this trip on the Camino. In all seriousness, just how exciting. What a cool time for our church just to see this vision that Jeff had come to completion with this trip on the Camino. And I just want to say, first off, I'm so excited just to see so many of you here today. There's so many new faces showing up in our church, which is just so awesome. And I just feel so like excited to be part of a church for that there's so much going on. Every weekend I'm here and every Sunday, I just feel so much excitement. For those of you who haven't had the pleasure of meeting yet, my name's Chad Morrison. I've gone here to Little Church by the Sea for about the last 3 years now. My wife Emily and I live here in town in Laguna Beach, and I'm in kind of a different, interesting, transitional phase in my life right now where I've served here as the interim youth pastor for the last year, which is truly something that I never expected or necessarily even went out searching for. And as I get ready to go back to my career of being a firefighter, and still being involved here at Little Church by the Sea, I just think, what an opportunity I've had just to reflect on what I've seen this last year. And so much of that is just as I speak to you guys and speak to so many people here at church and just hear your stories, I just see the Holy Spirit working so clearly. That's what I'd like to share today is just this concept of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is just a topic that is so broad, and there's so many different things we could talk about. But I want to look at the Holy Spirit through this lens of imagery. And something that I think is really beautiful about Scripture is while it sometimes tells us something really directly or explicitly, there's also many times where the Scripture just gives us this imagery, and it allows us to sit with it and wrestle with it and contemplate. And I think this is something that God has done really intentionally to allow us to deepen our understanding of Him. And it really becomes a relational thing when we could just sit with this imagery. The imagery for the Holy Spirit, commonly used in Scripture, is this idea of comparing the Spirit to either wind or breath. And the word that the Hebrew uses, which I'm sure I'm going to mispronounce, is ruach. And it could be kind of used interchangeably for this word wind or for this word breath. And as I think about that, I think, what a perfect way to describe the Holy Spirit or God's presence living in us. I think that so often when we think about the Holy Spirit, we don't see Him and we don't see exactly what He's doing all the time. And I'd say most of the time we don't, but we so frequently can see the effects of what the Holy Spirit is doing. We could see Him change our lives. We could see Him work in our community. And I think, what a perfect comparison to wind. For me, when I thought about wind, I immediately thought about my time as a firefighter and how much wind is emphasized to us when we go and fight a wildland fire, and how even though we have all this technology and we have all this predictive services, we truly can't predict wind on a micro level. There's oftentimes very quick and rapid wind shifts and wind speed and wind direction. I think of also, for us here in Laguna Beach, we live in an area where we basically every day have a shift in the wind, and wind is just part of our normal life, living in a coastal influence. I think of all of us here. I know so many of you who enjoy to surf, and how the direction of the wind, being an onshore or offshore wind, could just drastically affect the surf conditions. I think of my good friend Dale here, who owns a sailboat, who is just passionate about sailing, and obviously how much wind affects that. So as we go in and read through a few scriptures, I'd like to do something a little bit different. And I'd like us just to place ourselves in this place of contemplation, in this place of imagination. And I think this is an invitation that Scripture has for us. So I'd like you to either picture yourself as someone who is in Jerusalem in the time of Jesus, maybe on the outskirts of the city, sitting in a field and just listening to the wind, seeing it blow through the trees, and just being exposed to this force of nature that is mysterious and that isn't fully understood. Or maybe it's easier for you to imagine yourself sitting here on the beach in Laguna Beach or somewhere else and just experiencing the wind blow. And like I said, while we have an understanding of the wind today, it still is mysterious to us. And I think looking at the Spirit through this imagery of wind and its mystery and in its unpredictability will help us to better understand the Holy Spirit and how He works in our lives. So I'm going to go through and read a series of verses. And again, hopefully looking at through this lens of imagery, And the verses will be up on the screen as well. The first scripture comes at the very beginning of the Bible, and it's Genesis 1, verses 2. And it says, "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." And we get this image here of the Spirit being there at the beginning of creation, and just being this calm presence hovering over the face of the waters. I want to read another scripture that paints a pretty drastically different picture, but I think it's helpful to read these two scriptures together. And the next is Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. And this is at the day of Pentecost, or when the Holy Spirit was given or poured out upon Jesus' believers. And it says this: "When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language." And I think it's awesome as we read these two scriptures together how we see that the Spirit is very dynamic. He's not just some force who's sitting there stagnantly. We can see him at a time of rest as creation was beginning, and then we can see him at this very active time, at the time of Pentecost, filling this house and literally coming in like a rushing wind. And we see that there is this, in verse 5 that there is this loud noise, or in verse 6 rather, that there is this loud sound which brings all these people together. And while the day of Pentecost was obviously very unique in this day of the Spirit coming upon believers for the first time, I still think the Spirit works in this way so often today. And I think the best way for me to understand is just my own experiences and something that I think about that's happened in the last year, and just my involvement in the youth group is the first time one of the students in our youth group, who's now a major part of the group, Rainin, came to this church. And I just distinctly remember him showing up here at church for the first time, and his first words to me: "Hey bro, this church is really rad, so pretty much from now on I'm going to come here every single Sunday, and I come here to every event." And I thought, all right, maybe, that's pretty zealous, like I hope that happens. And then I remember the very next day, we went sailing on Dale's boat, and I think how fitting as we're talking about the Spirit and as we're talking about wind. And you know, we've always had a group that's just so tight-knit and such a special youth group. But as Rainin came in and was introduced to the group, I just felt like the wind of the Spirit began to blow. I just saw that he brought in something new, that he brought in such a spirit and an energy of just being totally open, being totally aware of what the Spirit is doing, and just while not always understanding that, just embracing that. And I just saw this immediate change of just this awareness of the Spirit and this excitement through him. And this is just one example, but I think it is so often and common that the Spirit will just change things and act like this rushing wind that we can't really predict or we can't expect. And as I look at this day of Pentecost, the believers who were sitting there together weren't sitting there expecting this rushing wind to come. This came upon them very fast and very rapidly. And I do see this happening today very frequently. The next verse I'd like to share is John chapter 3. It's verse 8. And here in Scripture, Jesus is pretty early on in his ministry, and he's been going around sharing his message, and there's this man named Nicodemus, who's one of the Pharisees, and he is one of the religious leaders and very high up in the religious structure of the Jewish religious organization. And he comes to Jesus at night, probably a little bit afraid to do so, probably a little bit hesitant to do so, and also very skeptical. And he's having this really interesting conversation with Jesus, where Jesus is describing to him this concept of being born again. And Nicodemus keeps wondering and not understanding what this means, asking, "Do I need to enter back into my mother's womb? How am I born again?" And he's asking Jesus all these questions. And I think Jesus' response is fascinating, because he could have just tried to explain in depth and kind of auger in on this conversation, but instead he says this: "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. I just love this scripture because it just, I think, introduces us in a way to the mystery of our faith, to the mystery of Christianity, the mystery of Jesus. As many of you know, Jeff's been speaking through this series titled Mere Christianity, which is loosely based off of C.S. Lewis's book, Mere Christianity, that gets to the essence or the core of what the Christian faith is and what Jesus is trying to tell us. And I think this verse fits in so well because as we talk about the Spirit, as we talk about this critical part of our faith, being the Holy Spirit, there is just this level of mystery that comes with the Holy Spirit. And I think it's actually something rather than being meant to frustrate us or meant to make us frustrated that we don't understand everything. It's almost a license to enter into something far greater or better than our minds could comprehend or that we could imagine. Emily and I were with our good friend Brooklyn earlier this week, and in very true form to the Spirit, she shared a quote from Richard Rohr that I think really speaks well to this verse as well as just the Trinity. And I'll read the quote for you. It says, "Unfortunately, Christians mostly gave up even trying to understand the Trinity. But if we're resolved that we want to go into the mystery, then I think we must seek to understand the Trinity experientially and contemplatively. To approach the Trinity in this way is not to understand at all, but to stand under a waterfall of infinite and loving flow. If the Trinitarian life flows between us, then every aspect of our lives is something that we can allow, enjoy, and steward. Trinitarian theology offers us the understanding that we are being guided and we are participating in the great mystery. And it has very little to do with us individually. Except like Mary and Nazareth, our yes seems to be crucial. It matters. God does not operate uninvited or undesired." I think this quote just speaks so well to the mystery of the Holy Spirit. I think we have this invitation to enjoy this level of mystery, to enjoy this excitement that we don't know exactly what the Spirit's doing, but we know that He's working. The next scripture I'd like to share is Luke chapter 3, verses 21 through 22. And in this scripture, Jesus gets baptized, and here's what happens. "Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were open, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form, like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased.'" And several things really stand out to me about this. First is just the imagery of the Spirit descending on him like a dove. The dove represents this gentleness or this calmness commonly in Scripture. And I think that's something that we so clearly see with the Holy Spirit, just this gentle, calm, loving, guiding Spirit that we have. And I also love the imagery of it saying the Spirit descending on him in bodily form. I think so often with the Holy Spirit, it's really easy to breeze past the personality of the Holy Spirit and that the Spirit is something that could be honored, can be offended, can be recognized, can be ignored. And I think this is something over the course of my life that I honestly have failed to notice many times. And I think over my last year, specifically here getting to work at Little Church by the Sea, I've so much more clearly seen how the Holy Spirit works personally. And I've seen this not only in my life, but like I mentioned earlier, in the lives of so many of you and just the open sharing and just the stories of so many of you. And I'll share some of those in a minute here. So I hope these few verses I shared help us to get a little bit better image of the Holy Spirit. There's so much scripture that speaks about the Holy Spirit. These were just a few that really stood out to me. I think this is a good transition to talk about also a few ways the Holy Spirit actually works and how does it actually look like. We talked about how the Holy Spirit works and these next few verses talk about what he does specifically. In John 16, verses 13 through 15, just a little background on this. This was shortly before Jesus was crucified, and he's sitting with his disciples, and they are very nervous. They have a lot of anxiety. They know that Jesus is leaving them. And this is what he says to them. He says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive, what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you." I just think, what a radical concept. What a radical scripture that is so easily overlooked. I know I've overlooked this most of my life. I grew up in church hearing that we can hear from God, but it just, I think, so profound that the scripture is literally saying that Jesus will be able to communicate to us directly through his Spirit, and that the Spirit is going to declare these things to us. And he's not only just going to declare whatever, he's going to declare what comes from Jesus and what comes from the Father. And as I just think of the last year of my life, I think the Holy Spirit has taken this opportunity in my own life to show me this more truly and show me this in a way that I could understand it a little bit better. I think of when I first came here to Little Church by the Sea. I was looking for a church. I didn't really know what I was looking for. And I ended up showing up while we were meeting on the beach during COVID, when we couldn't meet here in church. And I really distinctly remember sitting there talking to a few people and just hearing the Holy Spirit tell me, like, this is where I want you to be, and like, this is the group of people I have for you, and this is the community I want you in. And I was like scared by that. I didn't really know what that meant. I didn't fully trust that. And then coming back the next week, and one of my good friends, Jason, telling me, "Hey, there's a men's study. It's on Tuesday night, and you need to be there." And I just remember showing up to that, and just for a time like I've never heard in my life before, as we went through this study of Galatians at the time, just hearing the Spirit speak to me. And this was just kind of a common thread and something that was brought up a lot in our study. And I'd just never seen this play out in real life, in real time. And it's something that truly changed me. I think also when we talk about the Spirit declaring things to us, there are, of course, times, and there's, of course, instances where what he says to us is very direct and very specific. But there's also other times where, just like Scripture, he communicates to us in much more of this style of imagery. I think of a little more than a year ago when I was given the opportunity to take a year off from my job and take this position here at Little Church by the Sea and become the youth pastor for a year. In so many ways, being so hesitant to do this and being so afraid to do this, and almost being at the point of saying no, almost being at the point of not doing it. And then I just got this image. I was talking to my dad about backpacking randomly. It's a conversation we have frequently. And this image came to my mind of when I was a kid, we'd go on all these backpacking trips, and some of them were probably above my ability and skill level, but I remember on so many of them not wanting to do it and being afraid, and then finishing the trip and realizing, wow, like, this is perfect. This is exactly what I needed. And as I was thinking about, should I take a year off work and be a youth pastor, this position that I never really sought out to do, should I do it or not? This is the image that came to my mind, is just this image of this backpacking trip that I was invited to go on, and that God would speak to me in, and that I would feel blessed in. And I think that this image has really just been true for me over the last year, and I feel so blessed by it. The last image I'd like to share, the last story I'd like to share of the Spirit speaking, is about a month ago. I was at one of the on-campus clubs at the junior high, and myself and the youth pastor at Laguna Prez lead these clubs together, and it was going to be the last one of the year, and I had just all this pressure on myself that only I was putting on myself. I so wanted it to be a great club. I so wanted the last meeting to be great. And I'd kind of come up with a lesson plan and was pretty excited for it. And as I walked in, I all of a sudden just felt so unsure. And I felt like that's not what I should do. And I just felt the Spirit telling me, hey, throw out the lesson and just read the scripture. Just have the kids read the scripture, read it twice. And That's what I ended up doing, and it ended up being just the most beautiful, just profound time I've ever had in any of these on-campus clubs. And what I think is so special about this to me is it really had nothing to do with me. Simply we just read the scripture and let the Spirit speak through that. And I think that so often this is how God works in our faith. I've heard so many stories. I'm thinking about my friend Gavin, who's here, and his story of just feeling led all of a sudden to read scripture, and how that led him to come to our youth group, and that allowed many more kids to come to the youth group, and just in so many ways revitalized our group. So I think that in so many ways the Spirit often works in these ways where, much like wind, there's these sudden little changes in wind speed or wind direction, and we don't really know why, but we have this invitation to listen to it, and we have this invitation to go with the wind. And going back to the scripture in John 3, verses 8, that speaks to the wind blows where it wishes, and you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. I think we just have this invitation to be okay with that, to be okay with following the wind, even though we don't fully understand it. And that's so often where we find true joy and true beauty in life that comes from Christ. In Romans 8:26, we hear a little bit different of a side of the Spirit, and a little bit different role that the Holy Spirit has. And it says this: likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And I just think how profound. On one hand, we hear about the Spirit speaking to us and the Spirit declaring things to us and this more direct guidance from the Spirit. But in this scripture, we hear this concept of the Spirit knowing us so well, and because God lives in us, He's able to be our advocate, and He's able to ask us for the things that we don't even know what to ask for. And I get this image of He has such a more grand and beautiful plan than any of us could possibly have. Jeff shared this image from last week of this idea of we're all building this cottage and we have our plans and we think that we know what we're building is we compare ourselves to a house. And so many times God comes and tears down that house and we think, what are we doing? And build something so much greater and so much more grand than we thought could have done. But our imagination really couldn't have even gone there. When I think of this concept of the Spirit interceding for us with groanings too deep for words, the thing that immediately came to my mind is my friend Travis becoming the youth pastor here at Little Church by the Sea. Like I said, this year has been just such a blessing and so just so helpful to me personally, and just I felt so blessed to be a part of this. And I think one of the big things for me is as I took this position, I was so concerned about leaving here and not having a plan for the youth group, and knowing that I would still be here as a volunteer and help, but I just would not have the capacity to be the main person leading this group. And my good friend Travis, about a year and a half ago, showed up to church, and him and my other friend Liz introduced themselves, and we quickly began talking and just really hit it off and had a great time getting to know each other. And I just felt this urge to ask them to come be youth leaders, and they pretty much said yes right away. And over about the last year and a half, when I think about Travis, I think how important of a role he's played in our youth group and how many times I've leaned on him and how many times I've relied on him. And truthfully, as I was going back, I realized I was going back to my job as a firefighter and no longer going to be on staff here. Myself and Jeff were praying every week that it would, just the right person would be brought in. And it was actually like a really big place of stress for me, just feeling some responsibility. And I had this thought coming in my head. It's like, you know what? Travis would be the perfect, just best person to take this position. But like, I'm never even going to ask for that because I know that's not even a possibility. And little did I know, the Spirit was at work in his heart and the hearts of some of those around him, just leading him to this position. And I just think it's, for me, a real life image of the Spirit interceding for us with groanings too deep for words. This is something that I couldn't have imagined, or something that I wouldn't even really known to ask for. I think in all of this, one thing I've really realized over the last year is, and felt really thankful for, is just this opportunity to see the Spirit work and see the Spirit so much more clearly than I ever have in my life. And that's truthfully not really because anything I've done at all. And it's not because of some special ability. It's simply because I've had this really great opportunity to spend so much time with so many of you. and to spend so much time with the youth at our church. And I think there's this special thing that happens when we gather together as believers and when we openly share with each other, where we could see the Spirit working in different ways. And I talked about this idea of looking at the Spirit through this lens of imagery. And I think when we share what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives, whether we know fully what it is or not, or whether we know exactly where he's going with it, it really does bless us, and it really does increase our faith and allow us to live in more fullness. So I'd like to share just a few things that I've seen, why there's so many, in the last year here at Little Church by the Sea. And one of the first that comes to my mind is just this group of eighth grade boys we have in our youth group. And I think that the way many of them came to our youth group was just truly by the Spirit. One of our students, Braylon, all of a sudden just started inviting all his friends from his football team. And one week, all of a sudden, we went from having 3 8th grade boys to 15. And I didn't really know what to do with that at first. But probably for the last 3 months, pretty much every Monday, myself and Josh have been sitting together with this group of boys. And pretty much every week, we come in with a plan. We've studied the scripture, and we think we kind of know what we want to talk about or where we want to lead the conversation. And we have this group where some of them have come to church many times. Some of them, it's literally their first or second time at church. And every time, we pretty much just open the scripture, and they have such a desire and awareness of the Spirit that I just feel every time the Spirit just speaks through them. And I'd say about 10% of the time we actually talk about what I thought we were going to talk about. But I think how perfect and how characteristic of our God, how characteristic of the Holy Spirit to do as he pleases and to just show us these things and to bring us to these realities that are far better than we could have imagined. And as we go through these lessons every week, I'm always so thankful that it ended up going the direction it went rather than the direction that I'd planned for, because it always is better and it always is more genuine. I think of, over the last year, many just conversations I've had with a group of youth leaders that help with our youth group. I just see so clearly this openness in the group. I see so clearly this awareness of what the Spirit is doing and this humility in the group of people I've got to serve with that has just allowed the Spirit to work in ways that I never would have expected. I think of us going to winter camp this last year and Travis being, or Travis planning on leading a discussion after one of the nights. And in all honesty, the message that was spoken by the speaker at the camp just didn't resonate that well with our group of kids. And at the last minute, Travis just decided to go a totally different direction with what we were talking about and just share honestly, just share what he felt the Spirit was speaking to him. And it just truly was a special time where there was so much open sharing, and I just felt like there truly was this sense of community and this identity in the Holy Spirit there. There's so many other things I could share, but one that I just can't go without sharing is just the experience I feel every single Sunday out here on the patio after church. I just think that it's so beautiful that because the Spirit is alive and is in each of us who follow Christ, that we have this thing in common as a group of believers, and the Spirit has brought us all here for a reason. And because we have this thing in common, which is the Holy Spirit, we have this opportunity every Sunday as we gather to interact in a way that's not normal, not normal within humankind, but is divine and is of Christ. And I truly see this every Sunday out here on the patio. I know I've shared a bunch of different things, some different verses, some different stories, but in all this, there's just one thing that I feel stands out to me the most, and it's just this invitation for us just to stop and to contemplate and to pay attention to what the Spirit is doing in each of our lives. And I just, again, love this image of wind, because we'll never fully understand wind. We'll never, as we sit there on a beach, be able to understand why the wind is changing or be able to predict exactly what the wind is going to do. And it's very similar with the Holy Spirit. And I think as we sit and we contemplate and we sit with the tough questions, but then watch the work the Holy Spirit is doing, we are blessed. And this helps us to be free from worry, and it allows us to forgive and allows us to experience the fullness of Christ like never before. I think of wind, and while we don't see wind, we see its effects. We see trees blow. We see the wind texture the ocean as it blows across the ocean. We can see it knock things over. We can watch it blow a sailboat across the ocean. I think it's so often the same thing with the Holy Spirit. While we don't see him, we could so clearly see the effects of what he's doing at times, and we could so clearly feel his presence when we just take a second to stop and to look and be aware of what he's doing. I think with this contemplation and with this observation, we're ultimately invited to this profound and new sense of freedom as we follow the direction the wind of the Spirit blows. I think the Holy Spirit guides us to places of beauty and wonder that we could have never imagined for ourselves. And while oftentimes what the Spirit tells us where he leads us may seem counterintuitive or may seem scary, looking back to John 3:8, I think so much we just have this invitation and this license as followers of Christ to be able to just go with wherever the Spirit leads us and to have this freedom like never before. I think the Holy Spirit ultimately just allows us to break free of chains of worry, shame, guilt, and doubt. And he leads us into this new and truly complete way of life with Christ at the center. Before we go, I'd like to just put a few questions up on the screen for you to think about if you wish. And the first is, where do you see, feel, or hear the wind of the Holy Spirit blowing in your life? The second is, where do you notice the Holy Spirit working in your community or in those around you? And the third is, what invitations do you see to take part in what the Holy Spirit is doing in and around you? I'd like to invite you all to stand as we pray. Holy Spirit, we just thank you for your presence. We thank you that you are alive and that you are active in each of us and in our church and our community. And we just pray for eyes to see. We pray for ears to hear. And just this awareness of your presence. We thank you for your love for each of us. And we pray that you continue to just guide us. And we have trust that you will guide us and push us in the direction that you want. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.